Developed by the Pillsbury Company in the 1950s for use in NASA's food program, HACCP, Hazard Analysis and Critical Control Points, has since become a foundation for food safety around the globe. Welcome. I'm your TAG Talks food safety host, Lisa Lupo, and today I'm welcoming TAG Director of Food Safety, Kate McGinnis, to discuss just what HACCP is, how it has become so critical to the food industry, and why it's important for all food industry personnel to understand its core principles and application to today's processes. Welcome, Kate.
Thank you, Lisa. Happy to be here.
Great. So let's just start with the basics. What exactly is HACCP?
Yeah, so HACCP is a food safety management system. It's based on the application of science, and it aims to plan, control, and document the safe food productions. So it really is aimed at looking at food safety hazards, including those biological, chemical, and physical hazards that may be unique or inherent to the food, or become a hazard just due to the nature of how you process that product. So HACCP is a preventive system that focuses on identifying problems that could arise in food safety prior to them actually happening and is aimed towards implementing control mechanisms to help mitigate that potential risk. So within our HACCP system, there are a number of tasks that need to be developed and completed in order to implement a functioning system. There are five tasks that are considered sort of pre-tasks and seven that are considered fundamental principles to HACCP.
All right, so you mentioned that HACCP is made up of these seven fundamental principles and five pretests. So let's talk about those a little bit more. What are the five prerequisites?
Yeah, so the five pre-tasks that we are going to start with when we're looking at developing our food safety or HACCP system is the first one is we're going to assemble a HACCP team. So this is really important in order to, you know, develop and bring together the people who are going to understand what's going on within your process, within your ingredients, within your facility, so that they can help identify where there's potential hazards. So when we're bringing this team together, it's really important that this team be a multidisciplinary team. It's going to represent a variety of departments within your organization that are critical to playing a role within food safety. So you may have people there that are from your QA department. You may have people there from engineering, sanitation, procurement, you know, safety, anybody that you feel has an idea of what's going on within your facility and may be able to contribute to better understanding what's going on from a hazard perspective.
Okay.
The second task that we're going to do is then we're going to describe what we're actually manufacturing. So we're going to describe the food that we're making and where we're distributing it, how we're distributing it, so that we understand what exactly that product is and how we're going about distributing it to the end consumer. We're then going to describe the intended use of the product and its consumer base. So are we making an ingredient for further processing, or are we making an end product that's ready to eat by that consumer? Are we manufacturing a product that is targeted at a vulnerable population? So are we making, you know, hospital food, or are we making baby food, or are we just making a general food product that anybody is going to consume? So it's important to understand specifically what the products are that we're manufacturing and then who those consumers are. So that's the third prerequisite or pre-task that we would implement as part of our HACCP system. The fourth is that we're then going to develop a flow diagram. So we're going to look at the processes that happen within our facility, and we're going to outline all the process steps that an input ingredient will undergo before it becomes our final end product. So what are we doing it? Where are those touch points? What equipment is being used? How is that flowing through our process? We're going to outline that in that flow diagram. And once we have outlined that flow diagram, we're going to bring our HACCP team together, and we're going to verify that flow diagram. So this is the fifth pre-task that we would complete as part of our HACCP system. And with this verification of the flow diagram, we're going to go out, we're going to walk our process, we're going to follow it from start to finish. We're going to, you know, follow it from the time that we receive those inputs to the time that they're shipped out to wherever they're headed after manufacturing. And this is done really to ensure that all of the components, all of the touch points, all of the equipment, all of that process is captured in that flow diagram. It's important that we verify it because if we actually miss part of the process, this can result in missing, you know, hazards that are crucial to ensuring the safety of our product.
Okay, so we've got those pre-tasks done, and now there's seven steps that make up the HACCP plan itself. So let's talk about those now.
Yeah, so there are seven key principles that are used when designing a HACCP plan. And these principles include creating a hazard analysis. So the first principle is actually going through and looking at what hazards exist in relation to our ingredients and in relation to the process that we're implementing in our facility. So are there biological potentials, chemical potentials, or physical potentials that we need to give consideration to that are inherent in our ingredients or are related to the way that we're processing those products? Once we've completed that hazard analysis and identified all those potential significant risks that exist within our process, we're going to determine whether or not we need to implement any critical control points or CCPs within our process. So this is principle number two, where we determine if there is a need for those critical control points. We would determine this based on the hazard analysis and use that information then to move on to number three, which is our principle number three, is around establishing critical limits. So if we have identified a point within our process that we believe is crucial to controlling a specific hazard, we're going to implement limits that will show us that our process is in control. Once we've implemented those critical limits, we're then going to move on to principle number four, which is monitoring procedures. So we've got these limits in place. How are we going to ensure that we're meeting them consistently in our process? We're going to come up with procedures and outline what needs to be done to show that our process is in control. With those monitoring procedures, not everything goes according to plan all the time. And in case something goes wrong, we need to have a plan in place to bring our process back into control. And this is where principle number five comes in. And this is around establishing corrective action. So, in the event that something goes wrong with our process, how are we going to fix it? How are we going to bring our process back into control? So, we'll give consideration to, what might actually go wrong, what deviations may be possible within our process so that we can plan ahead. And in the event that we have that issue, we can correct it either in real time in order to ensure that safety or have a plan in place that will help us bring our process back into control. Principle number six is around verification procedures. So once we have all these limits established, we have those monitoring procedures in place, we need to be going back and checking to make sure that they're actually working the way that we want to. So this is what we call verification. And this process is going to be implemented to ensure our process is meeting the requirements and is working the way that we intended. Principle number seven is around record keeping and documentation, because in food safety, it's really important that we have those records. They're our documentation, our proof that we did what we were going to say we do, that we actually have created that safe product for our customers, for our consumers. And so the seventh principle is around ensuring that we keep records of everything. Everything is well documented so that in the event we need to ever go back and look at what happened within our system, within our process, we have the ability to do so.
Okay. So one of those that you mentioned was talking about the CCPs, which of course is part of the name of it even. So how do I determine those, or do I have to have any?
That's a really great question, Lisa. So CCPs are really determined from the hazard analysis. So as we walk through that hazard analysis, part of that process is identifying where there is significant hazards that may not have controls. And so this should really guide that determination for those critical control points. So if we identify a process step in our procedure where we need to have those critical controls that are significant to food safety, then we may have to implement them, right? But does a process have to have a critical control point or a CCP? Absolutely not. This is going to depend specifically on that hazard analysis and it will guide that determination. So, if there are no significant hazards that exist within your process that need to be controlled, then you may not have any critical control points.
So that probably though needs to be documented too as to why I don't think I have any.
Absolutely. So this is all going to be documented in your hazard analysis. So we walked through those principal steps. All of those principal steps are going to be very well documented so that we can go back and say, hey, this was our plan. This is why we came to the conclusions that we came to and why we're implementing that food safety system the way that we are in our facility.
Okay. So there really is a lot to developing the HACCP plan. But then I get it set up and I'm done, right?
Ah, so that's a good question too. So no. It is a fully, live management system, right? It is not just a one and done. It is not a static document that once we've gotten in place, it, you know, lives in that. It is a dynamic system that should be changing with your facility, with your process, with your ingredients, right? So that first step is to go through and develop that system. But once it's developed, it needs to be implemented and it needs to be maintained. And so this includes things like periodic reviews of our system to ensure it's working properly, going out and doing those audits of our system to say, hey, you know what? Is what's going on in our facility still what it was when we created this plan? Have we had any changes? Integrating those changes to ensure we are always on top of what's going on within our process and consistently identifying the hazards that exist within our ingredients and within our process. In addition to that, we have to walk through those principles, right? So we document it all as part of the first step, going through and seeing what we have to create. But once that's all documented, we need to actually go through and implement. We need to create those monitoring procedures and then implement them in our process. We need to determine how we're going to do those verification and validation activities. And then we need to schedule them to occur at a predefined frequency based on what's going on with our plan. So no, it's not as simple as, you know, I set it up and I'm done. It's a constant dynamic process that needs to be implemented, needs to be managed, and needs to be reviewed to ensure it's still consistently manufacturing safe food.
Okay. So we know that a lot of the USDA regulations and some of the FDA regs do focus on HACCP. So can you talk about these and what's the difference between the USDA and the FDA in that regard?
Yeah, so the USDA, as well as the FDA for things like juice and seafood, do focus on those HACCP principles. These tend to be very well-defined systems, so specifically, you know, related to seafood. If you are manufacturing seafood, it is very explicit in detailing, you know, what hazards exist, how we're going to implement those controls, and what that process looks like. So that is one of the strengths around something like seafood HACCP, is it is very well-defined and very clear as to what you're going to do if you're manufacturing or working with seafood. The USDA is also, you know, moving in that direction. They are working towards having very defined controls depending on the ingredient and making it very easy for those manufacturers to then come and say, okay, you know what, this is what I need to follow, this is what I need to implement. So the FDA is a little bit more open with the preventive control plans. It allows you to sort of go through with your hazard analysis and really outline how you as a manufacturing facility want to implement those controls.
Okay, so the FDA regulated facilities that are subject to the preventive controls rules of FSMA, does HACCP fit into those?
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, the preventive control rule and HACCP really rely on hazard analysis. It's the fundamental backbone to both systems, right? So, they are both food safety management systems. And really, in order to implement either successfully, you have to complete that hazard analysis. You have to determine where your hazards exist and ensure that control is implemented accordingly. With preventive controls, we're really relying on elevating certain components of the management system, things like sanitation, allergen supply chain, to that level of preventive controls where monitoring and verification procedures may be similar to, you know, a CCP when that's implemented under HACCP. HACCP relies a little bit more on the implementation of robust prerequisite programs to control those hazards. So we may not see things like sanitation or allergens have that elevated status, but we would have those robust programs backing that before we actually implement that plan.
Okay.
So really, as much as they are, you know, different systems, they do fundamentally rely on that hazard analysis to determine where there is risk within your process.
Okay, that makes a lot of sense. So overall, what do you see as the most important aspect or aspects of a HACCP program?
Yeah, so HACCP itself is a preventive system, and it's really aimed at identifying and controlling those hazards prior to them becoming a problem within your facility. And so while we have this sort of HACCP program that we develop, it is part of a bigger food safety system. So it's not a standalone, and really part of building out a successful food safety program is developing that food safety system. And with HACCP, you know, it's a fundamental component, but it really also relies on having those really well-defined prerequisite programs. And so when we're, you know, getting to that pre-tasks and those principles, we want to make sure that we have robust good manufacturing practices. We have robust prerequisite programs that are already in place to help us control those potential hazards. So really with this, we're looking at having those good sanitation programs, those good allergen management programs, our supplier programs, our facility programs, to help us ensure that when we get to identifying those hazards, that we actually have control mechanisms that we've given consideration to.
Okay, great summary. So I want to thank you really for joining us to share your insights on what can be a pretty complex topic. But if you think about all that we've discussed here, what would you see as key points that you really want our audience to take away and remember from this discussion?
I think that's a great question, Lisa. And really, at the end of the day, I think the key with HACCP or with your food safety system in general is that if it's implemented and done well, we identify those hazards at the onset of implementing that plan and we manage it accordingly. It really is a good system that allows us to prevent being in a situation that we don't want to be, like a recall withdrawal situation, right? So really, it's focusing on being proactive about what may go wrong and putting controls into place to prevent that before it becomes a bigger issue for us as a whole in the food safety space.
Okay. I want to thank you again and also want to thank our audience for listening in. We really hope that we've given you some good insights on HACCP, its critical importance, and its application. And as always, to stay informed on all things food safety and ensure you don't miss any of the episodes, be sure to like, follow, or subscribe to Tag Talks Food Safety on YouTube, Spotify, Apple, or whatever happens to be your favorite podcast platform. Thanks so much, Kate.
Thanks, Lisa.